And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day, at least down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Actually, the sun has come out. It's been a while. Definitely didn't see the sun yesterday, at least not down here. How long will we see it today? Don't know. Talked to friends this morning down in Atlanta. They got beat up from Hurricane Zeta last night. They've lost power and all kinds of stuff. So I don't know what's coming this way or not. I think more is coming. But right now, it is sunny south of town. Darren McFarland down here. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville, where I have no idea if the sun is out or if it's overcast or if the leaves are falling. I don't know. We'll find out in just a second. Chase McCabe is out on the west side in Bellevue, while Elijah Campbell is back at the Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Guys, how we doing?
Doing well. I actually took advantage of a break in the rain, and the sun did peek out. I got a little jog in this morning, and I was surprised.
Is it a jog or a jog? Is it a soft J?
I believe it's a soft J.
Okay.
The sun, there's some peakage of the sun.
Oh, you got some peeking around the clouds?
Yeah, there's a little peakage.
Yeah, it's gone now, though. We're all cloudy again now.
Well, hopefully the sun down here will come your guys' way. We got a loaded show again today, and we're excited about it. Paul Feinbaum in the on-deck circle in less than 15 minutes. We've got lots of things to discuss with him as the Big Ten continues to cancel. Not good. Not good. Looks like Nebraska and Chattanooga. Yeah. I guess that would have been the makeup game for Wisconsin, of course, having their woes. And I guess Nebraska's – or Big Ten has said no. No. Not going to happen. So at least as of right now, I don't know. They were looking to try to get another game in, but they're trying to find a last-minute replacement. But I'm not sure that is going to happen. So we'll get into all that with Paul Feinbaum and more, because it's pretty interesting. They have not allowed themselves any margin for error. And, okay, when this continues and keeps happening, and how many games is Wisconsin going to miss? What, Vanderbilt, what's the most in the SEC right now? We've just got 1 week, right? Because one of them, they were gone 2 weeks, but one of them was a scheduled off week. So only one game missed is the max right now in the SEC. Is that right?
Correct.
Well, but they have the makeup week, December 12th, which is the cushion where all these games are going. So they had that built in.
Now, what about Florida? I don't feel like Florida's played in like a month.
It does feel like a long time. It's like got that A&M same game feels like Labor Day weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've got the same thing though. The game has been rescheduled for that December week. So hopefully, and this is going to be the challenge, because we know with every passing day the caseload across the country has gone up, and you know with everybody in school, it's going to be tough to control. So you feel like it's going to be a challenge to not have any more cancellations between now and then. But just do the best you can. Every day, wear the mask, stay distant, do everything you can to keep it from spreading. That's how we see the football games. The discipline that it's taking to stay on the field is every day, especially on a college campus, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's even you got to try even harder there.
Sure.
Yeah, help me understand why the Big Ten committee stepped in whenever Chattanooga has been tested. Their first game was against Western Kentucky, I think. I believe that was their first game this past week that they lost 13-10. And I think that was their only scheduled game for this fall. Of course, they were going to play. Southern Conference had voted to play in the spring. And I guess Chattanooga, all their tests yesterday came back negative. Why would the Big Ten committee step in and say, yeah, we're not approving this game?
I have not read up on it. I have no idea.
I mean,
if they're getting tested, which we know Nebraska's going through all the testing, Chattanooga is being tested, and Chattanooga came back all negative as of yesterday. Why would the Big Ten committee step in and say, "Yeah, as of right now, we're not going to let you play that"?
I think it's from what I understand, it's just simply Big Ten has made a decision as a league that there are no non-conference games.
Okay, okay. So you're not going to be able – okay. So it's just simply
– it's not anything that Chattanooga
okay,
did.
Okay, okay. Or Nebraska. Was, it's just saying –
well, Nebraska's been pushing the envelope, as we know, from the beginning, and they just like, well, we want to have a game.
Okay.
If we can't play a game, let's see if we can find another game in the league. Said that's not what we agreed
okay,
on.
Okay, that
gonna
does
stick,
make sense.
They're going to stick to their guns on this one.
Okay, that makes sense. You're right. They have just decided – yeah, we're only doing conference only, and if games in the conference get bagged, you do not have the ability to go out and schedule games on your own. We are going to 86 that.
Okay. I can totally see.
It doesn't say that, by the way, Willie. I'm just saying I think you've nailed it. I think that's what it is.
I can totally see that, you know, there's, you know, they got this room that's the Big Ten room. I don't know where it is. It's just they have one.
Is it a Zoom room?
Probably a Zoom room, and it's where they all meet and they discuss things. And Nebraska pops in, and says, "Hey, you know, we want to reschedule our game. We got Chattanooga. They're the Mocs. They're cool. They're gonna play. They're cool to play us." And I can see the rest of the Big Ten be like, "Guys, we agreed. We were only gonna hang out with each other. Why are you bringing somebody else in? Now we got to start all over." I just honestly, that's probably the meeting.
You're saying Nebraska's the frisky kid that everybody's always got to, you know.
We had a deal. We weren't going to bring any new friends in. Yeah. What are you doing, Nebraska?
Yeah, that's probably true. We all know that kid, right? In the neighborhood or in school or whatever, we all know that
Billy
kid that
brings
always
somebody like,
pushes
who's this
the
guy?
Envelope.
Yeah, who's this guy? Who we don't know him.
Did you hear what Nebraska did today? You know, we all knew that kid, right? Did you hear what little Timmy did today?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, did you hear what he did? We've all known that kid, and I think Nebraska is that kid. I think you're right. But this should put an end to all of that, right? I mean, I think now the message is pretty clear because I do agree. While I don't see that anywhere, that's got to be it. And so that is the message I'm assuming the Big Ten is telling their members, yeah, you don't have the ability to go out and schedule games. Okay, out of conference. We have our schedule. This is what it is. Sorry that you're not playing, but I just want to know, like, if Wisconsin misses three games because of this, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with some of these teams that play six, seven, or eight games? I don't know.
Let's just see if they can play another game.
I think
they've got the rules about the three-week quarantine. So if you just do the math, they're shutting down for seven days.
Week. Yeah.
So that brings them to next Wednesday, and they've got a game scheduled for Saturday. How many guys will they have? Will they have enough? That's going to be the next question.
Are you guys sitting down on this one?
I am.
I've been sitting since the start of the show.
Okay, well, good. Sean Shapiro in Dallas is reporting that the Stars have officially named Rick Pohnish the full-time head coach.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. What do you guys think about that? You talking about shocking news right out of the gates.
I thought that there was like a 0.02% chance that wasn't going to happen.
Did you give it a 0.02? You gave it
I'm being sarcastic.
02.
It's not shocking.
I gave it a 0.0.
What's shocking from the Dallas Stars would be the uniforms they unveiled yesterday. I'm still not so sure about that. I don't know if you guys saw them.
It looks like they're getting suited up to go play laser tag.
It's cosmic bowling. That's what laser tag, cosmic bowling. Nash had the best line. I mean, he's the one that came up with that, but I mean, are they going to just turn black lights on in the arena and that's how they're going to play? You're just going to see neon green. Being the wrestling fan that I am, they look like D-Generation X, like they're coming back. And they really do with the D and everything. I noticed a lot of teams are unveiling these. They're calling them reverse retro. I don't really know what's retro about what the Stars did. But
that is a good question.
It's something.
If that's supposed to be retro.
I like what Calgary did.
Is the vibe I'm getting is you do not approve of those jerseys?
Honestly, I don't know how I feel. It's kind of like when the Seahawks came out with the highlighter green. Like when I first saw them, I was like,
Baylor did that for basketball too. Remember when they came out with the highlighters?
But then I saw them on the field and I'm like,
Not bad.
So
they kind of grow on you.
I probably need to see it, but right now, not a huge fan. You got to be careful. You got to be careful with. You got to be careful with highlighter colors. Got to be careful.
Yeah. Okay.
I gotta see it. I gotta see it on a TV screen or see it live before I really. I'm not gonna be that guy because you know how many.
I was gonna say, could we?
They
all
see it one second
yes,
on a
yes.
Twitter and like, oh my god, I can't believe they did that.
You I know, was gonna say, isn't that the natural reaction?
Yes.
Normally
no matter
is,
what, the jersey
no matter
looks
what
like.
It is, you go, ah, oh, that's I. What it's, is that?
Especially if it is very far one way, like if it's like I'll fully admit. When the Predators first came out with the gold, the like it's been forever ago now, I was like, whoa, that's a lot of gold. But then I saw it on the ice, saw the whole uniform, I'm like, okay, I can dig it. And then you get used to it. So I think that there's always that initial shock value, which is probably why a lot of these teams do some of this. But then it's like you see it and you go, all right, that's cool. I can roll with it. Now I we don't like the Stars here in this town, but their normal uniforms. I'm a fan of the green, if you want to call that Kelly green or whatever.
They call it Victory green.
Victory
is what
green.
They say, yeah.
Victory green. So, I don't know.
And that's always annoying too. It's like, oh, you've invented a new color. Ooh, Victory green. Congratulations, you guys are so important. You have a color that's only your jersey.
Right.
Like we haven't seen that color somewhere else. Victory green.
Right.
What was the Oregon? The lightning yellow?
Yeah. I mean, they have 60
uniforms.
It's
like the catchy marketing, right? It's like, ooh, it can't just be, hey, check out these yellow uniforms or check out these green. It's lightning yellow. It's victory green.
Sounds like a Gatorade flavor. Lightning yellow.
Frost.
Well, it does. That's a good point. We will come back, and we will
I'm drinking some Glacier Freeze Gatorade. That's
love
the color of mine, Glacier Freeze.
The Glacier Freeze. I have one of those. I actually have one of those right here.
Is that kind of that creamy, milky color?
No.
Like white, gray? No?
No, it's that's Frost.
It's
Frost
blue.
Is that.
Oh, that's the blue, the funky blue one.
Glacier Freeze is a shade of blue, yes.
Okay.
I just call it blue.
I rarely look at the names of them. I just open the bottle and start drinking them. I don't really look at the colors. So that's
what
I was
asking.
Same. I just identify by the colors. That's it. Okay, we'll come back. Paul is on deck. Paul Feinbaum. We'll talk to him next. Aaron Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All them dogs are counting down, about to put the anchor down. Hotty toddy, who's it going to be?
When you hear that, you know what that means. It's time for the Paul Feinbaum Show. Every day. Starting at 2 o'clock, right as we get off the airwaves, and you can be heard on ESPN 94.9. And with that being said, every Thursday he joins us at this time. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Paul Feinbaum is indeed on the line with us, ESPN SEC Network. That's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Paul, I know you've been talking about the Big Ten and the cancellation ad nauseum. You're probably sick of it this morning. But I've got to start there because the Big Ten has not allowed themselves any room for error like the SEC did when they pushed everything, all the cancellations to December 12th. How do you think in your mind this is truly going to play out, especially with a case study like Wisconsin, when we don't have any clue when the Badgers are going to be back out on the field?
No, I mean, I think it's easy to say it's going badly, and as soon as you say that, you get a bunch of blowback from people saying, "Well, you know, they're being safe and they're doing all the right things." Well, I don't know. You know, they clearly made a mistake on August 11th when they punted the season, because if that was not a mistake, then why did they come back? And when they came back, they left themselves no margin for error, so. I hate to say they're getting what they deserve, because that's a cruel statement about a disease like this or a virus. But you know, whatever happens to them is their own fault, because they should not have punted the season. They should have said, "Okay, we got a lot of problems. Everyone's having a rough time. Let's postpone until September 26th or even later." And they would have been able to pull this off, but you know, now games can't be made up. And I will say Wisconsin is obviously their top 10 team, so it affects them and affects their ability maybe to get to the Big Ten championship game. But, you know, if this were to hit, Ohio State would be a lot more important because Ohio State's a legitimate national championship contender. I don't think Wisconsin is.
We haven't seen it, or at least we haven't seen it anywhere to this one, unless you have something or you've seen something we haven't. The Big Ten committee stepped in and said, Nebraska, you can't play Chattanooga. We're not going to let you do that. And we have not seen a reason why, and we were just basically guessing the reason why. Is the correct guess, or is it because they've said they're doing conference only? They're basically telling their members you are not allowed to go out and schedule games outside of the conference if your game is canceled?
That is correct. Okay. That was the decision they made. And, you know, remember Nebraska in the early days after the postponement of the season, they were trying to get a schedule together. They were talking about joining another league. Nebraska is just like the kid at the back of the class that won't shut up. And quite frankly, they're in the Big Ten, but they're not exactly part of the original circle of trust. So I think they feel a little more emboldened. But, you know, I mean, what would they have gained by playing Chattanooga? And, you know, it's a game. It's a paycheck, I suppose. But to me, it would cheapen the season, so to speak. Nothing against Chattanooga. It's a game for them, and it's a good game for them. But it just adds nothing to the Big Ten schedule. So that's where they are. And yeah, I can't imagine this is going to be the only time it's happened. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of issues in the SEC, but you know the Florida situation was pretty serious. Obviously, Vanderbilt has had some problems, to say the least. So it can happen, and it can happen any day now because of what everyone is telling us about the state of the virus.
The Titans are traveling to Cincinnati this Sunday to take on the Bengals and Joe Burrow. What did you think of what Joe Burrow would be coming out of LSU after they won the national championship? And what do you think of his career right now to this point? Are you impressed? Is he doing better than you thought? You know, how would you describe what you've seen out of Joe Burrow to this point in his NFL career?
I think he's done pretty well. It's interesting if you go back a year or two after Joe Burrow's first season at LSU, the odds of him being the first player taken and winning the Heisman were astronomical. But yeah, all things considered, I think he's had a pretty good season. He's starting as a rookie. I was on a program earlier today on ESPN, and they're talking about, you know, is this the end of Cam Newton again? So when you consider Cam Newton's career versus versus where Joe is right now, I'd say Joe's doing okay. And yeah, you guys covered the NFL more than I do. I mean, the odds of having a flawless rookie season are pretty slim. But the fact that he's playing and contributing to me is very significant.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum, talking some SEC football here. So, Paul, what's going on down at Mississippi State? They started so well. They're struggling now. I know there's a lot of issues with transfers, people leaving. What's the end game here?
I think it's a dangerous game right now that Mike Leach is playing. And by the way, all coaches have the right to clean up their programs, but they usually do it before the first game, not after the third or fourth. And I mean, this just doesn't – I've never seen anything quite like this. Coaches tell me all the time that, they probably, if they had it to do over again, would have gotten rid of more players after the first year or after the first spring practice. But Leach, I think, is just a carefree guy who, kind of goes to his own beat and to me, he's veering or slouching towards something very dangerous here because Kylin Hill was his best player. He was also the most important player in that state because of his stand this summer for the flag, the Mississippi flag. And I don't know what Kylin Hill said after a game. Obviously, Leach didn't like it and pushed him toward leaving. But you know, those are things you have to deal with privately. You have to try to work out. And right now, the impression of Leach's program is that it's a disaster. And, you know, his defenders, which are few and far between, are saying, well, this is what you have to do. But I would strongly disagree. And, you know, the credibility that he had going into that job and the inflated credibility that he had after the first win against LSU is shattered right now.
You know, I look back, Paul, at one point, if I remember correctly, Tennessee did make a play to try to grab him. And you look through the years at, you know, first coming up through the ranks at Kentucky and then Texas Tech and then Washington State. He's been at sort of, and now Mississippi State seems to be the same kind of program, just outside the main, you know, teams that you think are going to contend to championships every year. Tennessee, you know, was looking for, they seem to be in a different profile. Would you think he would have been a fit at Tennessee, or what would that marriage have been like?
Just like it is here at Mississippi State. And, you know, I mean, John Curry offered them the job. I mean, Leach told me that. And, you know, when the chancellor found out, she fired John Curry, and she got fired. And that's how we got Phil Fulmer and ultimately Jeremy Pruitt. But I think he had a better shot at Mississippi State than Tennessee, just based on the tradition of the school, the power structure, the number of people that you have to deal with. Mike Leach is not a guy that you want to take into the boardroom at some bank in Nashville for lunch. He's just, yeah, he's a like, I don't want to act like I don't like him. I do. I've known Mike Leach a long time. But I think his career is somewhat misleading. He was very good at Texas Tech. But at Washington State, he only had one really good year there, one year that he finished in the top 25. And I think he's lived off of his reputation, the pirate motif, the occasional big upset, which he usually follows with a dud. And you know, he was the one guy that needed to get out of the gate strongly this year because he had a fairly decent team. And you know, right now, after three losses, he heads into Alabama this week. I mean, there's nothing good can happen in Tuscaloosa Saturday night.
Paul, as far as Tennessee, this is the question we've brought up for discussion this week, and you're the perfect person to weigh in on it. They've lost three in a row. They've lost a lot of momentum right now. Garantano is the center of attention, and they've got the true freshman quarterback that they're pretty high on. So here's the thing with the bye week. If you're Jeremy Pruitt, is it worth the risk, even if it costs you a game this year, to let the kid play, see what you have, if it means you might be better off at the start of next year? Or can he afford to do that at this point?
He can afford to do it. He's got capital. He just got a new contract. I mean, come on. But, you know, the question is that part of Jeremy Pruitt's DNA? I don't think it is. I think it would be smart to do that and to say, you know what, three losses, and if you look at the schedule, they're very well. I mean, it's, even the most optimistic Rocky Topper is going to have a hard time, you know, looking at this season as anything but 500, and that's being optimistic, you know, with Florida, Texas A&M among the remaining games. I think Auburn's on there as well. And how do you stay with Garantano? I don't know. It just, to me, it's stubborn, and he just needs to quit coaching like every game is his last game. It's not. The university has spoken. Take advantage of it. I'm not saying gut the whole season, but I would start making moves toward the future, not trying to eke out a 6-4 or 5-5 record that will do you no good whatsoever.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network and ESPN, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. So sticking on the Tennessee front, I mean, we all remember the 90s and winning the national championship, and Phillip Fulmer had them competing for SEC titles, and then we all know what it's been like the last decade or so. Do you trust this group and Phillip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt to get this program turned around to where it is, at least competing for an SEC East title, let alone the SEC title?
Not at the moment. And I did a couple of months ago, I really felt like things were going in the right direction, but I'm not so sure. And maybe it's reactionary. You know, the Kentucky, it's hard to look past that Kentucky game.
Agreed.
The other two losses are certainly legitimate, But Kentucky, losing 34-7 at home to Kentucky is not legitimate. And I think that that's where Pruitt is right now. And it's a critical time to try to figure out the direction of this program. But it just, his statement after the game, I stood on the sideline at Alabama as a coach a couple of years ago, and, the score may not be any different, but the gap is closing. I mean, that's a absurd statement.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Even if he believes it. And by the way, you guys have all been around coaches. I mean, sometimes they know a little bit more. They know the players are coming in. But you just don't say that. All that means is that you're trying to make excuses. And that's the one thing Tennessee fans are sick of. They had enough of that with Butch Jones.
That was in my line. I was going to say, yeah. Butch Jones told him to say it. But you just...
I mean, at this point, I don't want to be one of these, Twitter freaks and start doing the Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt 3-year comparisons, but they all look pretty similar right now.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's just, I know last week, earlier this week when he said that, I'm going, really? What gap? I mean, yes, the recruiting classes are there. Butch recruited. They couldn't develop them. And so I can understand it. We all know Vols fans are, it's hot and cold. It's, it's like a wrestling storyline. One week it's good, one week it's bad. But I certainly understand their frustration in all of this because they've been patient long enough. So at what point does it get turned around? At what point is it more than just, yes, one of the best recruiting classes in the country, these are actually really good players and now we're winning games? That's what I can't figure out.
But the misnomer about the SEC, if you're a blue chip program, which I think Tennessee still is, I'm not sure, you want to be able to recruit well, and it's not a shock that Tennessee is having good recruiting classes. I mean, Georgia's having better recruiting classes, Alabama's having better, Florida, is ascending. So I mean, that's your competition. And what really blew me away about the Kentucky game was if you're trying to keep up to be an SEC East contender, you better beat Kentucky every year, because you're gasping for breath to try to stay with Florida and Georgia. And right now you're not in Georgia's league, and we'll find out at the end of the season if you're in Florida's league. You certainly aren't in Alabama's. So where are you?
Well, and I mean, I know they're in the West, but you look at a program like Arkansas that has had this. I mean, they're 500 right now, and they really should be 3-1 after the Auburn game. I mean, Sam Pittman, who we all went, huh? Who? Okay, sure. And Felipe Franks. I mean, they've had a tremendous, and I use that word because of where it was, start to their season. And I mean, what does that say when you see a program like that do this kind of turnaround, and then Tennessee can't get it right?
And they've got a coach who is irreverent, but he's likable. And I always hate to spend too much time criticizing someone for how they handle press conferences, but you guys have interviewed Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, has he ever said anything interesting?
Not really.
I think we all know the answer to that.
I've known him a long time, and I genuinely believe he's a good football coach. Couldn't he just like spend 5 minutes a day with someone from the communication department saying, maybe I could try to act like I care when I'm doing an interview with you guys or me or anyone else. But it's always the same. And that hurts because recruits see that stuff. Nick Saban's interesting. I interview all these coaches he's the one, and you interview a zillion coaches as well. And when you welcome Jeremy Pruitt to your program, you're like, okay, these are 8 or 9 minutes, which you hope the audience doesn't just take, either nod off or take a break. And he doesn't have to be that way.
Who do you have on the show today?
Jeremy Pruitt will be on for the entire 4 hours.
And on that note, that's a mic drop. We will end this. Paul, always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
All right, Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Gary Force Accurate. He took the bait, and I put it on a tee, and he knocked it out of the park. And MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. When we come back, we're going to ask you to be teachers or professors, however you want to view yourself. as a Tennessee fan, what is your grade on Jeremy Pruitt now? That's number one. What is your grade today? What is your grade for Jeremy Pruitt? Two, 3 years from now, do you believe Jeremy Pruitt will still be the head coach at Tennessee? And why? That's what we're asking you to do. Weigh in with us. Text line, phone line, wide open. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Play a teacher or a professor, whatever you want to be. What's your grade today of Jeremy Pruitt? And tell us a little bit of why. And 3 years from now, will Jeremy Pruitt still be the head coach at Tennessee? And why did you answer it that way, yes or no? We'll come back, get a reaction on the other side. Floyd Reese will begin the second hour of the program, so that's coming up at 11 o'clock. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
At this point, I don't want to be one of these, Twitter freaks and start doing the Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt three-year comparisons, but they all look pretty similar right now.
College football game of the week this week is presented by Gary Force Acura, and it's going to be on ESPN 94.9, and the game will be between two Tigers. LSU and Auburn will face off, kickoff at 2:30, and like I said, all the action on ESPN 94.9. And now we're asking you to get involved in the show. Floyd Reese coming up at 11 o'clock, and we're just simply asking this question, Tennessee fans, or college football fans, just your observations. What is the grade currently today on head coach Jeremy Pruitt? And 3 years from now, do you believe he'll still be the head coach? And why? It's that simple. 615-737-1025. Text or call in.
It's on Twitter, too.
And on Twitter. And that is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Chase, I'll start with you. I want to hear where you're going to go with this. How do you answer those two?
It's a very, very good question, number one, because it does make you think. And so my answer is I'd give him a C. I'm not going to just put everything on recruiting. I'm not going to put everything you got several buckets that you have to put water in. He has recruited well, so he does deserve some praise for that. He did turn the season around last year, and he did inherit a bad program. But at the same time, you go into this year, and granted, I know it's a weird year and it's an all SEC schedule. You still lost to Kentucky. I can't let that pass. And there's too much up and down, even with what you inherited, that I can't give him higher than a C right now. As for the other part of the question, will he be there in 3 years? The answer is yes. Philip Fulmer just gave him an extension when he didn't need one. What makes you think he's going to buy him out and go through that whole process 3 years from now?
Well, I would say to answer that, and it's a very valid point, if it looks like this, the fan base and the donors will give Philip Fulmer no choice. It's just like maybe going back to our Tampa Rays discussion. Sometimes the person you think is in charge isn't really in charge, if you know what I mean. Kevin Cash may be the skipper. But was that his call in Game 6? Was it? Or was it above him? And Philip Fulmer may be the athletics director, and I get it. He's got a lot of pull there at Tennessee. He's not just any old AD, as we just heard about John Curry. John Curry was going to hire Mike Leach. John Curry was going to hire another guy, and he was 86th on both and eventually fired, right? So he didn't have much pull, even though he had the title. But clearly, he wasn't running the show. That played out that way. Philip Fulmer's got more cachet than John Curry, and he's got more pull. But the product will have to look a whole lot different, whether it's Philip Fulmer's guy or not, because money talks, and donors will tell him, Phil, we love you, man, but we're not asking you.
We're telling you.
Okay? And here's my checkbook, and I'll help you with the next guy, but we're not asking you. We're telling you it's time for a new coach. And well, that's kind of how it works sometimes behind the scenes.
And I'll say this, too. A lot of those same people, a lot of the same fans, too, you know, they were the same people that wanted Phillip out, and then they wanted him back when they realized it wasn't much better. So that's another thing.
I'll tell you this, Chase, and you may remember this because I think you may have been producing the show back then. I said many, many years ago, I don't know why people bag on Phillip Fulmer being an AD at Tennessee when I was saying, don't be surprised if he's not the AD down the road. And
yeah, I got
laughed at. I mean, people were just like, you're out of your mind. What are you talking about?
They wanted him gone. Why would they want him back?
Right.
So you always run back to what felt good.
Well, and enough time had elapsed, right, too.
Yeah.
And there's also that. I mean, the wound had healed
right.
in a lot of cases.
And I'll throw this in, too, and you knew I was going to do this. Paul brought this up. He doesn't come on our show, and he never has.
I think if it were up to him, he wouldn't do any
right.
I would
interviews.
Agree with
that. But yeah. But you have to be better as an athletic department. Phillip Fulmer, of all people, should know, because guess who has been on our show?
Well, Phillip Fulmer, when he was the head coach, would work Radio Row.
Right.
He was the head coach at Tennessee. Phillip Fulmer worked Radio Row.
Because
Phillip Fulmer
he
did interviews.
Gets it. Because yeah. he gets it. Why isn't he telling his head coach that, like, hey, Jeremy?
I don't know. It's a great Jeremy. Question.
But do you really want him on the radio?
There you go. That's a nice counter.
But that's that.
I
agree.
That's who
Butch
you hired,
Jones.
Though, Willie.
I thought
your
Butch
guy.
Jones was as dull as dishwater too on the radio. He
true.
Wasn't
right, and he didn't really do all that much. I mean, we had to peel the curtain back. I had to chase the SID around Birmingham to get him on the show.
Yeah,
at SEC Media,
he
Day.
Did at least come on our show. I mean, he made news. On our show.
He did.
He made big news, national news. So,
but,
I mean, at least he did come on the show. It wasn't as frequent as we wanted it to, but, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, we've tried and tried, and we got nothing.
But
nothing.
You can buy time by being really good, media-friendly. It can help you get through the tough times, but ultimately it's what you're doing on the field. Like, I think he's planning on winning enough to where nobody really cares whether he's interesting or not to listen to, but it is a factor. If I were to give a grade at this point, I can't really disagree with Chase. I might say C+. I think I would have said up and if it weren't for the Kentucky loss, Chase, would you be higher than C?
Can I answer first, Chase, before
yeah,
I'm going
to
give
ahead.
You a second to stall.
Go ahead.
I agree with what you're saying, Willie, and I'm right with you. I thought Chase nailed the grade, and then I was thinking, I may be willing to even go C+, but you know the difference for me was Vince's hit with us on Monday, which regularly every Monday at noon, Vince Ferrar from WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville, when he basically gave the resume of Butch Jones in this time frame as to Jeremy Pruitt, it's actually worse than Butch Jones. Jeremy Pruitt's resume right now is worse than Butch Jones through mm-hmm. this same time
yeah.
frame.
Well,
that jumped out at me. The losses are not by a field goal.
Right. They've been battered a lot. I still though I want to look more ahead as he built a foundation. And this is where I'm not as versed in, you know, where each recruiting class that was rated pretty high is now because, you know, Butch Jones had recruiting classes, but as we know, he didn't turn that into great talent on the field. In the masses that you have to beat the Georgias, the Alabamas, and those teams. So I'm still going C+. I think a bump in the road can be overcome, and that is why I think you have an opportunity here. He got the extension, which nobody can figure out why. That was not smart, but it's to his advantage. It's 2020 where this whole season, looking back on it 10 years from now, you know, it's always going to be looked upon as, wow, I'm just glad we got through it. That was a challenge, etc. You don't have fans in the stands and everything like that. I think that's all the more reason to take the opportunity to try Harrison Bailey and see if you find a quarterback. Let me give you a reference. And, you know, Tennessee fans are going to say, well, here comes Willie's Vanderbilt reference. But let's look at Derek Mason. Derek Mason would not be the coach of Vanderbilt today had he not thrown Kyle Shurmur in there as a freshman. A true freshman, about midway through the season when they were awful and they had horrendous quarterback play. It was the same thing. he didn't want to have to play Shurmur. He wanted to redshirt Shurmur, but he had to throw him in there. They won a couple of games against weak teams late in the season, Kentucky and Missouri, and then they ended up going to two bowls because Shurmur ended up being a very good SEC quarterback. If he doesn't get the quarterback, he's not going to make it.
Nope.
So I don't know if Harrison Bailey is any good or not. He's supposed to be a really high recruit, but now is the time to do it. Even if you stink the rest of the year, he will survive. Even if they win one or two more games, because it's all conference games, they might even go to a bowl game if they're 4-6. Mm-hmm. Heck, this year they'll be looking for teams. They'll be glad. Somebody will take Tennessee gladly. It's all conference games. You can justify it. You've got to find out if you have a quarterback. So I'm going C+, but as we know, it's really incomplete, because if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to make it.
Let's go to Raymond. He wants to weigh in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's start with the grade, Raymond. The grade today from you on Jeremy Pruitt is what?
A D+.
D+, okay, why?
I'm not up there with the C. The first two losses last year, Georgia State, and I can't even remember who
BYU.
It was.
BYU.
BYU.
BYU, and, I mean, those two compiled with this Kentucky loss, it's just a trend of bad losses to teams that you should beat.
Okay, anybody's going to argue with that.
I'm glad you said that,
Raymond. Tennessee. Yeah, you're hired at Tennessee to beat the Georgia States and the BYUs and the Kentuckys of the world. They have been for many, many years. So, okay, fair point. What about 3 years from now? Do you believe Jeremy Pruitt will still be the head coach, and why?
I believe he will be. But simply because Fulmer now has tied himself to him with this extension that I do not understand at all. I mean, I would have to give Fulmer a D- with this.
But would you say he would have to drastically improve to, even with that being said, 3 years from now, still be the head coach?
It just depends if he gets into Dooley and Jones did, where it just beats the fan base down where we don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
What's good enough? That's what you have to decide. What's good enough to keep him?
If he comes out next year, you know, puts together an 8-win season, maybe a 9, and then the year after wins 6, is that third year, is he gone, or is it going to be, we'll give him another year and see if he can't get it back up to a 9? I hate to think that Tennessee's fallen that far, but I think if he's gone, Fulmer's gone.
Mm. Interesting. Thanks for the call, Raymond. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You too. 615-737-1025. Big Orange is up next on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Big Orange, let's start with the grade. What do you give as Jeremy Pruitt's grade today?
We'll get the rookie mistake here. Turn the radio down.
We got the radio up. We're on a delay.
And I don't think Big Orange is paying attention.
All right, let's just put him on hold. We'll see if
he hung Elijah. Up.
Okay. We're on a delay.
I'm going
to
say this.
You got to listen to us when you're on hold. By the way, you can hear us when you're on hold.
You can.
You can.
I'm going to say this in response to Raymond's call.
I don't think Darren's giving a grade, by the way.
I wanted to go. No, I haven't done. I said... Yeah, actually, you're right. I haven't really said it, but I did say it because I started with a C, and I started thinking about it, and I was like, but you could also make the case possibly a C+. And then I started thinking about the blowout losses on his watch to this point. And when you've got that many lopsided losses as a head coach at Tennessee,
right?
That I can't give you a plus, you know, so I'm going to have to stick with just a firm C, like Chase. Willie, I don't know. Did you officially say C plus?
I said C plus.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to stick with a firm C.
So
now, what about 3 years from now, Willie? You didn't get a chance to answer that.
You know, I look at Tennessee's track record and I say they haven't been very patient as a fan base, and so that doesn't bode well. So the question is, will Philip Fulmer be more patient than people in the past have? And that's why I say yes. Philip Fulmer, being a former coach, a guy that was there for a long time. If he believes in Jeremy Pruitt, then I think he will be the coach in 3 years. I say yes.
But why would – I mean, with those hires, why should they be patient? I mean, it's a big-time football program. And if the hire isn't right, why do you expect them, especially when you keep doing – you keep repeating the same steps, why would you expect them over time to get – you know, soften their stance? If anything, I think they would get
– The fans won't.
The fans
are going to be all over it. But I think if it's close, I think Philip Fulmer will stick to his guns more so than in the past situations.
I don't disagree with that. Everybody seems to go that way, and I get that. I'll just go back to Philip Fulmer is in charge until Philip Fulmer is not in charge. And when they get mad enough, he's no longer in charge because he's not running the show. The donors and the people with money run the show, and the people above him run the show. And whenever there's pressure with big money people, you're not running the show anymore, and it just depends on where they are. That's what you have to really ask yourself. What's their level of how mad they are? Because if they're really mad, I mean really mad, you're no longer in charge. It's not your call anymore. It's theirs.
And the fan base should be mad at them if they decide that 8-9 wins at Tennessee every year is – and I say every year, meaning that's just what it is. It doesn't go any higher. They should be mad at those people for being okay with that, because Tennessee is a program that they should be aspiring for a playoff spot. They should be aspiring to play Alabama and or whoever out of the West in the SEC title game and win the SEC.
At this point, it's just about when. Like, forget even the play. I mean, it's baby steps, and it's ridiculous to say.
But it's been baby steps.
How about win the SEC East? How about let's just start there?
I agree.
Just win a side of the conference.
I agree, but the problem is. They get to this point where, like, for instance, in Raymond's call, I was glad that he said what he said, because there were so many Vols fans that they kind of forgot about the beginning of last year. They just looked at the end like, oh, yeah, he turned it around 8-5, and then they won the bowl game for the ninth win. They still lost to Georgia State and BYU. Like, that still happened. And then they turn around this year and they lose to Kentucky. So I'm glad that a Vols fan said, yeah, I haven't forgotten about that. That doesn't just magically go away. And that can't be okay to continue to happen, because now 2 years in a row it's happened. You've lost to a inferior team that you should not lose to.
Yep. Let's go to Nate. Nate is up next on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your grade for Jeremy Pruitt is what?
To be honest, guys, I don't really know. Because I'm not happy or sad. I'm just like, it is what it is. And
that sounds like a C.
It does sound like a C. You're right.
Okay, then sure, a C. Because I was talking with a buddy of mine the other day, and you can't really build a program firing coaches 3 years into, you know, their tenure, or if you can even say that. You need to give them, I feel like, at least maybe 4 or 5, because you're still using the former press or the former guys, players. And I mean, I feel like, I just thought about this. Philip Fulmer might have gave him the extension because of the recruiting class that he might see that's coming in. Because I mean, we can't sit here and say Fulmer has almost nothing to do with football, because he is a football guy.
Yeah. So do you think think Derek Dooley should have been given 5 years?
Probably not.
You just said everybody should be given 4 to 5 years. So Derek Dooley should have been given more time.
Okay, I misspoke on that.
Butch Jones was given that too, Nate. And I mean, did he deserve even more time? I mean, at some point, and by the way, neither one of those guys have been hired to be a head coach since.
I mean, I think sometimes, you know, if you can see the potential in someone, and I mean, really, did we ever really see the potential in Butch Jones?
Well,
but
that's what I point. Like the
at
really
his highest
the,
point,
the
I think people were all they were
all
way behind.
Had a little,
they
he
were,
had some
had
shine.
Momentum.
He had
sure
a little
did.
Shine on him.
Oh, he absolutely did. And then it came crashing down quickly. The bottom line, the core of this, Nate, is I don't disagree with. I guess big picture what you're talking about, because you're right. You don't want to always be starting over. But really at the core of this is you got to get it right from the start, because we had this discussion earlier, and I don't believe in 4-5. It was well documented. If you have that right hire, you'll know it's the right hire. Like Kirby Smart didn't need 4 or 5 years to turn around Georgia, and I know Willie will counter with Georgia was in a better spot. Just get the right people, right? Get the right hire. And by the way, you can also tell early on if they're not the right hire, and that's why I don't agree with 5 years. Because, yes, ultimately you really don't want to keep starting over, but if you keep making the same mistake over and over again and hiring the wrong guy, then unfortunately you do. There's no reason to keep doing it just to say, well, let's just keep going, even though we know they're not the right hire, because we don't want to have to start over again, because you know you're going to start over again. It's going to happen no matter what.
So how many times are y'all willing to start over with the program?
And
I think maybe the point here is each time you start over, it gets harder for the next guy.
Yep.
That's what
set
I would
it back.
Say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Derek Dooley was the wrong hire. Butch Jones, yeah, he had some shine on him, but now hindsight being 2020, it was the wrong hire. They hired two guys that you want to hire in the group of five, not the SEC. And that's what we learned that early on, brick by brick, baby. Those type sayings, those things, Darren, I producing the show, I heard you every day bring that up of you can't say those things as an SEC head coach. That's what you hear in, you know, the MAC or something like that.
It's Central Michigan. That's what you
right.
say at Central Michigan.
Right.
You don't say it at UT.
Right. And
that's,
now
that's
they
cute
got
at Central Michigan. It's not cute at a big time football factory.
Well,
it's
other,
not.
The other part of the equation is every time you start over, the program has lost a little more luster in the level of job. If you noticed, every time they've made a hire, they have not gotten their first or second choice. They've had to go pretty far down. Now, Lane Kiffin put them in a position where they had to scramble, right? They had to go with whatever was left, and that's how they ended up with Dooley, and he wasn't their first choice. Right, but each other time, Butch Jones, we can go back through it. There was several guys that they went after and got turned down. And so if they were to do that again with Pruitt, I think the same thing would happen.
Here's
at some point, you're not the program that you were before. So you could blame it on Lane Kiffin if you want. Everybody
this
loves
is
to
where
do
I am, guys, in the whole what Nate is bringing up. Why does Florida get Urban Meyer and Dan Mullen and Tennessee doesn't? Like, get those hires.
Bingo.
Why is it Florida can go out and get Urban Meyer and hire Dan Mullen, but you can't? Why does Georgia hire Kirby Smart, but you can't? That's the difference. You're not hiring the right people. And why can't you? You're University of Tennessee. Why can't you find Urban Meyer? Why can't you hire Dan Mullen? Why can't you hire Kirby Smart? Why? That's the problem. Get the hire right. It's not about years. It's about getting the right person. And why do these other schools, these other powerhouse schools, why are they getting those coaches, but yet you can't? That's what I would say on
coaches
that.
Coaches talk behind
that.
The scenes, and they know what kind of a show it was behind the scenes.
We'll come back, and we will start the hour. Somebody who's hired coaches, he understands it. We'll talk to Floyd Reese to get the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase started. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.